श्रीचैतन्यमनोविस्तं स्थापितं येन भूतले श्रीरूप मायं ददां स्वयं पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीवेदपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवं च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहग्नरघुनाथं वितंस्तं सजीवं साधुवैतं साधुभूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहग्नललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं स नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूते स्मृतितमाय कृष्णकुसुमिति नाम्नि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूते स्मृतिभक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिति नाम्नि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेष शनिवादिपाश्चात्देशतारिणि नमो महावदमयाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौर तुसे नमः हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत ते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदवनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे के जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिव साधि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण सो वी विल बी स्पीकिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 11 वर्स 38 Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Etad Ishanam Ishaya Prakirti Sto Api Tad Gunaid Na Yujyate Sadatmah Stahi Yatha Buddhis Tad Ashraya Etad Ishanam Ishaya Etad Ishanam Ishaya Prakirtisto Api Tad Guner Prakirtisto Tad Api Tad Guner नायुज्यते सदात्मास्तहिर नायुज्यते सदात्मास्तहिर यथा बुद्धिस्तदाश्रया यथा बुद्धिस्तदाश्रया एतत् ईशानाम् दिवनिति Ishaya, of the personality of Godhead. Prakriti stahe, being in contact with material nature. Api, in spite of. Tad gunhe, by the qualities. Na, never. Yujate is affected sad atma stahi by those who are situated in eternity. Yatha as is buddhir intelligence tad the Lord ashraya those who are under the shelter of. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead.
He is not affected by the quality of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material quality. I'll read it again. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of the material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedas and Vedic literature, Sruti and Smritis, it is affirmed that in the divinity there is nothing material. He is transcendental, nirguna only, the supreme cognizant. Hari, or the personality of Godhead, is the supreme transcendental person situated beyond the range of the material affection. These statements are also confirmed even by the Acharya Sankara. One may argue that his relation with the goddess of fortune might be transcendental, but what about his relation with the Yadu dynasty, being born in that family, or his killing the non-believers like Jarasandha and the other Asuras directly in contact with the modes of material nature? The answer is that the divinity of the personality of God is never in contact with the qualities of the material nature in any circumstances. Actually, he is in contact with such qualities because he is the ultimate source of everything, yet he is the above the actions of such qualities. He is known therefore as Yogeshwar, or the master of the mystic powers, or in other words, the all-powerful. Even his learned devotees are not affected by the influence of material modes. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan all came from greatly rich and aristocratic families, but when they adopted the life of mendicants at Vrindavan, superficially they appeared to be in rest condition of life, but factually they were the richest of all in spiritual values. Such Mahabhagavatas of first great devotees, although moving among men, are not contaminated by horror or insult, anger or satisfaction, sleep or wakefulness, which are all resentful actions of the modes of material nature. Similarly, some of them are engaged in all the dealings, yet are unaffected. Unless these neutralities of lives are there, one cannot be considered situated in transcendence. The divinity and his associates are on the same transcendental plane, and their glories are always signified by the actions of Yogmaya or the internal potency of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are always transcendental, even they are sometimes found to have fallen in their behavior. The Lord emphatically declares in the Bhagavad Gita 9:13 that even if an unalloyed devotee is found to be fallen due to a previous material contamination, he is nonetheless to be accepted as fully transcendental because of his being engaged 100% in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord protects him always because of his rendering service unto him, and the fallen conditions are to be considered accidental and temporary. They will vanish in no time. So this particular verse is when Lord Krishna has entered Dwarka, and it's the second last verse of that particular chapter. What it tells is basically a couple of points. It's the divinity of the Lord. What does that basically mean? Is that the Lord is not affected when by the material modes of nature when he comes to this material world, like we are affected. There is three energies of the Lord. There is an internal energy, then there is a marginal energy, and there is an external energy. The internal energy is the spiritual world. That's what the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha Dham, is made of. Now if you look at the whole creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is divided, three quarter of it is all spiritual, and in one quarter, right in the corner, is the material world. The material world is like a prison house. In the spiritual world, there is only one thing, is bliss, is happiness. There's no hankering. Everyone is happy. But in the material world, it's completely opposite. Everyone is suffering. Whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you want to believe me or not believe me, the truth is that there's nothing here apart from suffering. Right from the time when we are in the womb of the mother, we start to suffer. We are locked in there for 9 months, beaten by what kind of unknown, you know. And then there's so much pain, then your delivery, and then you come out and you cry and nobody understands you. And everybody thinks, you know, they want affection. But the truth is that you want to get out of this place after suffering for that long in the womb of the mother. But after a while, because of affection and everything, we forget everything. And then we get attached to the parents, the land, the nation, and then slowly disease comes, old age comes, and death comes. We came with nothing, and we go with nothing. So this is the material world. The spiritual world is perfect. Now the question is, why did we come here? The reason why we came here, because we did not want to do what we are supposed to do. We did not want to follow our constitutional position. Our constitutional position is dasyam, servant. But what we wanted to be? We wanted to be the Lord. So we come here, and then you become landlord. I have got a car, so I'm the lord of my car. This is my wife, so I'm trying to lord over my wife. This is my children, I'm trying to lord over. Isn't that what I was saying? As soon as you say, this is mine, you're trying to lord over it. But what is ours? Nothing. Even this body, one day it's gonna go. This body is changing every minute. We have a house, then we sell it, then we move to another place. We were born in India or wherever, and then we come here. We said India was our nation. What happens now? Please, somebody can get Mahatma Prabhu a chair, please. So this is our situation. But when Krishna comes here, he does not get affected by the modes of nature. Now, it's very hard to understand Krishna. So let's not go there. Let's go with somebody simple where who can have a little bit of understanding. The devotees who come from there also don't get affected by the material modes of nature. They are called sadhus. Sadhus are everywhere. Sadhus have two qualities. They are very merciful, and they also cheat. Now you might be saying, why am I saying sadhus cheat? Steal
the heart.
What's that called?
Steal the heart.
Not only that. If you're not qualified, if you don't surrender, then he doesn't give you. Krishna Bhakti. So if you have the desire, so how do we actually get sadhus? You should have that hankering. You should have that desire to meet sadhu. Then Krishna sitting in your heart, and Krishna sitting in the sadhu's heart, and he brings them together. And then one day, you may be, some of you might be able to relate to what I'm saying. You know, you had some desire, you know, you just were nothing, sitting in the city somewhere, you know. And Bhakti Sai Prabhu was walking there, and he had a book, you know. He gave it to you. Bhagavad Gita, you know. You look at the book, you know. As soon as you got Bhagavad Gita in your hand, you got Krishna in your hand. And then Krishna talks from inside. You look at the page and open it, and you don't know what happened, you know. You might have the last $20 in your pocket, and you give it to Prabhu, you know. You sit there and read, and the time goes away. You go home and read about it, and you find out who was the devotee, you know. He took my last $20, you know. But then you read, you get a little bit of knowledge, and then he said, okay, I have to find him. You know, and slowly you find about the Hare Krishna as you come to the temple, and before you know, like Mahatma Prabhu, you know, he's old, you know, he's still here. You know. He might have come for one visit, but he's still here. You know. Krishna, he steals your heart, you know. So the sadhus are very merciful. But you have to have the desire to find them. You cannot go and study them and say, oh, this sadhu is no good, that sadhu is no good. Then all you're going to do is criticize and you're going to commit offenses. I was listening to one of the memories of Srila Prabhupada by Indradyumna Swami. Very nice example. Such a nice example. Maharaj was in Paris. And they had a small center, small room, small altar, you know. They were just starting the movement there. And then one day, one devotee comes, one man comes. He had long hair. He hadn't had showers for about 2-3 months. He was stinking. He couldn't even talk. He was intoxicated. And he called him like, I don't know where he got the correct name. I'm not sure I've got the second name right, but it's like Pig Fanny or something, you know. So that's what he looked like, and that's what they started calling him. And he couldn't even talk properly. You know, all he said, food, food. He wanted food, you know. And then they gave him some prasadam. He said, I want to come in, you know. And they said, no, no, you can't come in, you know. Take the prasadam and go, you know. So he used to come regularly, and they used to give him prasadam. One day Maharaj was walking out of the temple and he wanted to go for a walk. Very nice building, very nice garden, but there was some bush there, you know, and he had some noise too. He went to have a look. And then Pig Fanny was there, he had some newspaper there and he was sleeping in there. So he would come to the Hare Krishna temple, get some prasadam and stay there. You know. Intoxicated, couldn't even speak, you know. And then Prabhupada came there, and he was staying there, and Prabhupada one day said, let's go for walk, you know, morning walk. So as he was walking, Pig Fanny jumped out of there and tried to get Prabhupada's feet, you know. The devotees picked him up, threw him back in the bush, you know. Prabhupada kept walking, you know. Came back, all the devotees are ready, he might do the same thing, you know. Nothing happened. They go to the temple. Maharaj says, the door is open. He says, who is there? You know, I looked, closed the door before I came, you know. There are a couple of pujaris who are dressing the deities. They go into the temple. Pig Fanny is there. Before they could do anything, he jumped and grabbed Prabhupada's feet. The devotees tried to stop him, but it was too late. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, leave him alone. And he touched his head. Don't worry, my boy. Don't worry. Hare Krishna. Couple of moments. Then, they're saying, what do we do with him? Prabhupada went. There's so much love that Prabhupada has given him, so much compassion he has given him, so much mercy he has given him. They could not get rid of him. They said, okay, take him up, let's give him a shower, you know, give him a bath, scrub him clean, you know. Saved his hair, gave him a shower, put him on a dhoti. Pig Fanny comes, nobody can even believe that he is Pig Fanny. And they ask him, how are you? He said, the only thing he says, Prabhupada saved me. Prabhupada saved me. That's all he said, Prabhupada saved me. So he hung around there, you know. 2-3 days later, I started cleaning the temple. He started doing little bit service, you know. And then he started chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now he can't talk, you know. But he stayed there. He took prasadam. He was in association of devotees. Down the track, you know. Maharaj and everybody going to do book distribution, so they were loading the van. Maharaj goes to the van. Pig Fanny is sitting in the passenger seat. Maharaj saying, what you are doing here?
He said, Sankirtan. Maharaj
said, you can't go to Sankirtan.
He said, Sankirtan.
I said, okay, you can go on Sankirtan, you know. What can I do? He said, but before you go do that, clean the car in the van, you know. He gets out, they load the van, had a nice prasadam, they load the van. Sikhveni is sitting next to Maharaj. Maharaj is saying, what am I doing, you know? They used to go in karmi clothes so that they could distribute books. He is in dhoti, you know. They go to the parking lot where they distribute the book. The van stops. Sikhveni jumps out before anybody could do. He grabs his bag and he's on. Maharaj is saying, what is he doing now? He's going to get us into all the trouble because he's in his dhoti and everything. He said, okay, don't worry. Somebody will chastise him. He'll come back, you know. They had a nice prasadam, so they're relaxing in the van, just waiting for the moment, you know. And then the Sikh Bhikkhveni is talking to somebody, trying to give one book, you know. And I said, okay, leave him there. You know. They're still in the van. Bhikkhveni comes back with his bag empty. He gave all the books out. They asked him, what did you tell them? He said, I told them, Prabhupada saved me. So that was his mantra. That's all he said, and people took books. He became a big book distributor. He started talking nicely. He started chanting. He took initiation and he started giving class. This is the mercy of a sadhu. This is the mercy of a pure devotee. The difference between him and me is he had that hankering, he had that desire. So when we go and offer Pushpanjali to Prabhupada, don't think he is just there. He is a person. Just saying, Prabhupada, give me a drop of whatever you have in your heart. Let me chant the name of Krishna as... I had an amazing dream a couple of days ago. I heard that I was in a plane, I was on my way to the Perth temple, and I've never been there. Next thing I see, I'm at the temple, and I go to the room, and there's a small room in there. So I enter the room, and I'm looking for the altar, and there is a curtain there, but it's sort of a see-through curtain. So I go there, and this is the altar, all the deities are there, and there devotees sitting inside the altar and taking prasadam. Then I look at the altar, and I see all the devotees are on the altar, as persons. I see my Guru Maharaj, he is doing some service, they're all there, somebody is chanting there. I even see a cart being pulled by a couple of bullocks, somebody is bringing, this is all on the altar. So when you look at that, all our gurus are there. They are not pictures. They are person. They are personally serving the Lord. These are not only murtis. The problem is we can't see it because we have material eyes. The sadhus can see it. One day Prabhupada came from a late night program and he was with Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And as he came there, he looked at his murtis, you know, his Radha Govindiji. And he said, look, Radha and Krishna are dancing today. A pure devotee sees everything. This is what the sadhus can give. I can't give you what I don't have. So if you want Krishna bhakti, if you want Krishna prema, you have to go to somebody who has it. So how do we know we don't miss a sadhu? The best way to treat everyone is a sadhu. Because that's what our constitutional position is. We are Krishna's servant. Just because we forgot, you might have a nice dream and you are thinking you are somebody else, you are a king, you got this big property, you own a nation, you know, you got so many children, but when you wake up, you know, you are the same puppet, you know. That's what our situation is. We think we are this, we are that, but actually we are servant of Krishna. That's what our constitutional position is. We have just forgotten. So if we treat everybody as devotee of Krishna, if we see everyone, whether it's an ant or an animal and whatever it is, then we'll never miss a sadhu. We are very fortunate. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. And then these Brajabasis were coming and telling Prabhupada, you know, your disciples don't know how to, don't know Sanskrit, you know, they don't know how to pronounce the mantras properly, you know. They don't know the etiquette, you know, all those things. And Prabhupada said, yeah, I know. But you know, my disciples, they might have all this force, but they do whatever I tell them to do. So all their qualification, born in the dham and everything, knowing all the Sanskrit, and we, with nothing of that, but by following Prabhupada, our situation, our position is high. This is the quality of a pure devotee. Prabhupada is not from here. It was a big tapasya for him to come here. He did not need to come here. He came here for us. He suffered all that for us. That's what sadhus do. If you read Kriya Bhagavatam, how many of you read that? Should read that. Gop Kumar, he goes. Gop Kumar is one of the cowherd boys, he's Krishna's friend there. So he goes from one planet to another planet, you know. Slowly he goes to the demigods, you know, then he goes further up. And he sees the difference there. And everywhere he goes, it's getting better. Then he goes to Brahmalok, where Mahapurusha is there and Brahma is worshipping him, you know. And then finally he goes through all the coverings of the material nature. And then he goes out of the material world, he crosses the Virat River and he goes into the spiritual sky. That's where the Mayavadis finally end up, you know. And while he's there, then he is the Damru. Who plays Damru? Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is there and he meets them and he talks to them and he says, Lord Shiva says, come with me, you know. But Gop Kumar only knows one person, he's Gopal. Where is the Krishna with his Vasudi, you know, where are the cowhead boys, you know. So wherever he goes, he stays happy for a while, but then he starts looking for Krishna. And when those personalities realize, they said, okay, go to the next level. So while he's there, he sees that there are personalities from the spiritual world coming to the material world. And then he asks, who are these people? And then Lord Shiva said, these are the sadhus, you know. These are the saintly person who go to the material world to help us. Krishna loves us. Krishna loves us more than we would ever could love him. Ask people who are parents, you know. The love they have for the children. We are away from him. He misses us. He wants us. But we are spoiled, ungrateful children. You know, left our loving father. So these sadhus, they come to give us that knowledge so that we can actually go back. Go back to our father. He doesn't want us to suffer. We have lived for millions of lifetimes. We don't know how many times we have taken birth. We have been demigods, we have been kings, we have been the richest people on the planet. We have children, we have hundreds of children. But nothing gives you happiness. Give this life to Krishna. Whatever you can do, you know. Today and tomorrow is a special day. You know. It comes once every 3 years. What month is this? What do you get in this month? Radha and Krishna. Mercy of Radha and Krishna. Chant extra round. Do whatever. Do service. And the best way to make advancement is how? Save Krishna's devotees. Because then they can give you the ability to chant. So next 2 days, do whatever you want. Cancel all your plans, come and spend most of the time in the temple. Do whatever service you can. This is why we come to the temple. So we can have association of devotees. We are very fortunate. We are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada is here. And all his disciples who are, you know. So many Maharaj comes here, you know. Pure devotees, you know. We should respect, you know. We save them. When we please them, then Krishna becomes pleased. This is the thing. When Rai Ramananda was asked, you know, what is the most valuable thing in the world? What did he say? Association of the devotees. And what is the worst condition? Separation from the devotees. He didn't even say, you know, to chant properly, to do this, to remember Krishna all the time. He said, association of the devotees. Because wherever the devotees are, that's where Krishna is. Krishna says, I am in the heart of the devotees. And the devotees are in my heart. Make sense? I come from Fiji and I see this. There's so many people who do have this Ramayana Mandalis. You know Ramayana Mandalis? You know, they have this every Friday they got together and they do Ramayana. And they've been chanting this for the whole lifetime. And some of them are like, you know, old people. But what they do the Ramayana and then they drink grog. Same place, you know. So I don't know what they come for. They come to actually listen to the Ramayana. Agree, Prabhu? And they listen to, and then they drink grog. Why Ramayana is? It's an intoxication. Why don't they get that? Why don't they get, they're reading Ramayana, you know, why don't they get it? They're chanting Lord Ramchandra's name. Why don't they get purified? Because to get that, you have to get it from somebody who has it. And Srila Prabhupada has given it to us. Krishna appears in Kali Yuga. In what way? By his
holy name.
Namotar. So we chant his name. Very easy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So beautiful. Very easy. Any condition? No. When can you chant? Anytime. While you're driving, you know, while you're sleeping, if you're still in your bed, awake, you know, you can chant. And this is the most valuable thing. Krishna's name. But you have to get it from parampara. You just can't get it, you know. I know a lot of people chant this Gayatri mantra, you know, it's everywhere. You know. But unless you get it from the right source, unless you get it from the right place, then it doesn't have any benefit. So same as Maha Mantra. That's why we have Guru. So these are the two things. The main point is that his devotees, when they come from their spiritual world to help us to get the sadhus, they're not affected by the material modes of nature. If you look at Prabhupada, you know, look at his type, you know, he had nothing in him, you know. is basically bones and skin. There was nothing there. And what he was doing, he was translating. Full pure consciousness. He was showing us that we are not this material body. And he is not from this planet. He is from the spiritual world. All these things doesn't affect him. So we should have faith on Krishna, completely surrender unto him. And the way to surrender unto him is study someone who has already surrendered him. If you are not doing anything, if you play a lot of games on computer, go and watch this. Memories of Srila Prabhupada. These are his disciples who have had personal experience with Prabhupada. They are talking about Prabhupada, and some of these things are amazing. Just can't believe it. Once Bhagavad Das was actually massaging Srila Prabhupada. So while he was massaging, there were some ants, you know, Prabhupada was lying on the ground and some ants were coming on his feet. So he saw the ants and he said, okay, he stopped massaging and trying to get rid of the ants, you know. As soon as he stopped massaging, Prabhupada said, why did you stop massaging? And he said, Srila Prabhupada, there were some ants there, you know. Prabhupada said, don't worry about the ants, they won't do anything to me. So there are about 15-20 ants which coming this side. And Prabhupada put his hand like this and put it the other side. All the ants turned around, made a line and they moved out. And Bhagavad said, you know, Prabhupada has mystic powers, you know. He has control of over anybody, you know, everybody. These ants are all coming this side. They made a line. Now when you listen to them, people who have seen it, you know, then you can believe it. Then you can actually understand the Prabhupada. Then you can appreciate. Then you can know what he has. And then you know what he can get. What he can give. So if the devotees are so powerful, then when Krishna comes, I think he is transcendental. Take. Any comments? Prabhuji?
You said so many amazing things. Would you like to tell us how Ramakrishna Goswami got Mayapur land? Because that was the most amazing thing. How such a big temple is coming up. Would you like to tell us how?
Bhakti Vinod Thakur had this dream, you know, way before anything happened. What did he dream? He dreamed he was on his balcony and he was looking over the river Ganges and there was a big temple there and white elephants were dancing. When I say white elephant, I mean white devotees, you know, Western devotees were dancing. Devotees from Prabhupada used to call his Western devotees, disciples, white elephants. And he saw all these devotees from all over the world with their dancing. This is before even Prabhupada came to, you know, probably even he was before he was born, you know. So that was what he saw. What I'm trying to say, everything was supposed to happen and Krishna gives his credit. So Prabhupada wanted the land and he wanted to build a city where basically his headquarters, you know. Lot of people tried to get land there. So many devotees went there, tried, they couldn't get land in there. Now you have to be surrendered. Right? The more you surrender, the bigger the task your Guru Krishna gives you. Just like the Pandavas were so surrendered to Krishna and Krishna put them through everything just to teach us. So one day Srila Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Goswami and he said, this is the money, go and get me the land, don't come back until you get the land. So Maharaj goes in there, you know, talks to them. In the middle of the rice field, you know, that's where the land he was trying to buy. Then under the tree they counted every note he had. He wrote the serial number of every note he gave. Took him 2-3 days, you know. got the paper, signed the deeds and comes back. This is like midnight, you know. Prabhupada is usually sleeping by now. He's waiting, you know. Then he sends his servant before Tamal Krishna actually could knock on the door. He said, go and open the door. As soon as the door opens, Srila Gurudev is there. And he comes and gives this. He says, here's the land, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, go and take rest. So this land, you know, was acquired by a pure devotee on the instruction of a pure devotee.
And Prabhupada also showed him how to carry the money.
Yeah. Prabhupada used to carry his money underneath it. You know, when he used to cross one country to another country, he used to put money underneath so that the customs people can't get hold of it. And then when he comes, when he changes the dhoti, all the money falls off. You know? So he used to hide the money like that. And he told him everything, how to actually, you know. Tamal Krishna Goswami, he thought he was very smart. He was very smart. But he said, when they chose the GBC, he said, okay, I'll be the GBC for India because I'll be close to Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was there 8 months of the year. But that was one of the hardest places to actually manage. And there were there were temples going everywhere. Krishna Balaram temple, the Mayapur project, and the Juhu beach, which was another thing. And Tamal Krishna used to go from one place to another place, you know. So, after 4 years of actually being GBC, Srila Gurudev said, I think it's time I should go, you know, I need a break, you know. So he went to Prabhupada, he said, you know, I want to actually do some preaching. So Visnijan, who was his friend, he said, he was a great kirtan leader, you know. Most of the kirtan, the tunes we know, actually came from him. And then Tamal Krishna said, okay, we'll go and preach. So Visnijan had a bus, and he had Radha Damodar deity, and he had a few devotees, and he'll go, stay in one place, do kirtan, and then keep going in there. But Tamal Krishna went there and they started doing the same thing. Visnujan is doing kirtan, Tamal Krishna goes and starts recruiting people, you know. Do you like it? Do you take the prasadam? Yes, it was good. If they say no, he moves on to the next person, you know. And then every place they do a program, he gets 2-3 people, you know. And soon the bus is full. Visnujan says, you know, what do we do now? And he says, you know, he goes, says, okay, how much money you have got? Give me everything you have got, you know. So they don't have anything to go back to, you know, so they just stay on the bus. Then they bought another bus, they bought another, and I think, I don't know how many they were there. And then they started going from one temple to another temple, you know, they go and do the program and then they go and attend the, visit the temples. And all these devotees, mostly the male devotees, you know, some of them were married and everything, they saw what these people were doing, the kirtan, the austerity and the excitement, you know, with what they were achieving. And in the morning when they woke up, right, the bus went, most of the men also went with them, you know. So very soon there were only ladies left at the temple, all the husband had gone, you know. So, and this is what's happening because it was big. It was the biggest book distribution, you know. It was massive, you know. It was almost equal to the rest of the world. That's what they were doing. So they came to Mayapur, all the temple managers, you know, the president, they came with Prabhupada and said, now we got a problem, you know. So one side is Tamal Krishna Maharaj and the other side is about 18 other temple president, you know. They're saying, he can't do this, you know. And Srila Gurudev is saying, Prabhupada, I'm doing this many book distribution, you know, this, that, and Prabhupada. And finally he started taking side with the temple managers because there were more of them and he could understand, you know. So next day, he's having darshan of the deities and the servant comes and taps on him and he says, Prabhupada wants to see you. And Srila Gurudev said, I'm not going. Because he knew what the situation was, you know. He knew it before, you know. And then finally he goes there and Prabhupada said, okay, you have to stop doing this, you know. And then he started. Now, Tamal Krishna Goswami was one person who could talk, you know. And he would speak his mind. And Prabhupada used to ask everybody if he had wanted an opinion. In the end, he'll say, okay, Tamal, what do you think, you know? And then he'll talk, you know. And sometimes he took his advice, sometimes he didn't, you know. But he would always ask him, and he was one person who would speak. So he was saying, "No, Prabhupada, this, and Prabhupada was putting his tilak, you know, and he was getting angry. He was angry, and his lips was waving, you know, he was so angry, you know, he couldn't put his tilak, you know, his hands were shaking, you know." And Prabhupada said, "No, you're not in charge of the Radha Damodar party anymore." So he took the life, you know, that's what he was fighting for. He said, "You're not part of that anymore." And Tamal Krishna was like, "If I'm not part of this, I might as well go and preach in China, you know." Prabhupada said, "Very good, you know, you go and preach." And Srila Gurudev said, no, I was just saying like that." He said, no. "Krishna, why do you say that, you know?" And then he said, "You've got two choices, you know. You either go and preach in China, or come and chant in Mayapur, and you have no more engagement, you know." And then he surrendered and he said, "What am I fighting for, you know? The only thing I want to do is please Prabhupada, you know. If pleasing him means to go to China, then I'll go to China." Then he said, "Okay, I'll go to China, but on one condition, I'll take whomever I want." You know, Prabhupada said, "Okay, you know. Just like a kid, you know, who's fighting, and in the end he says, you know, I want this, okay." Prabhupada said, "Okay, you can have that, you know." So at least he feels that I want something, you know. And then he comes out of there, you know. Everything is finished. His whole Radha Damodar party is gone. There's like 60 buzzers at them, you know. And he used to coordinate, you know, basically. He was just the manager, you know. How many books, this, and talk to them, how much money you have got, you know. And all this money was coming to build the temples in, basically, India, you know. And then everything was gone, you know. And somebody said to him, you know, "You are very fortunate, you know." And Gurudev saying, "What fortunate, you know, everything has been taken away from me, you know. How am I fortunate, you know?" He said, "Because you are so surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada knew he can take everything from you, you know." And then he started preparing to go, and Prabhupada said, "No, you don't go." He said, "I'm training one person to take charge of this, you know. When I'm not here, somebody should know how everything is run." That's a pure devotee, you know. Completely surrendered, you know. If you haven't read this book, read that book, Seventh of the Seventh. If you want to know what a servant is, we know Prabhupada, you know. We didn't know Bhaktisiddhanta, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually asked Prabhupada, not asked, requested, suggested that he should actually write, print and distribute in English, you know. But what did Prabhupada say? "My Guru Maharaj gave me this order, you know. It was just a suggestion, you know. If you have money, if you could do this, you know. So I'm very fortunate that one of the most well-trained disciples of Srila Prabhupada." Yes, you know, whatever was impossible to do, that's what Tamal Krishna was asked to do. You know. Once they were doing a pandal program in Bombay, and the docks, where all the ships coming, you know, the ports, they had a strike there, so you can't get anything out of there. And they had all these books that were supposed to be actually distributed at the pandals, you know. They had already taken money from the life membership and they had to give the books. So all these members were coming and there's no books there. So Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna, "Go and get the books." Then he goes, you know, he flies to Delhi, he speaks to the ministers, he I don't know how many doors he knocked on, then he got a letter from somebody, then he went to Calcutta and he spoke to the people, and then finally he got the book released, you know. Doing this in India is impossible. To please Prabhupada, so the word impossible was not in Prabhupada's dictionary, neither was in Tamal Krishna Goswami's dictionary. And that's why probably, you know, being the most fallen, you know, Prabhupada sent to save me. I'm very fortunate. We are all very fortunate, you know. We are very lucky, you know. But don't waste your life, you know. Stop running after everything, you know. follow the principle, change the name, stay in the association of the devotees, you know. Stop chewing the thing that has already been chewed, you know. You've already, there's no rust there. Just looks like it's nice. Tick? Any other questions, comments? Prabhuji, anything else? Any corrections? Any additions? Mataji? No? Good. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaunitai Bhagwan ki jai, Radha Ballabha ki jai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Devi ki jai, Radha Giridhari ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Krishna, assemble the body, Hare Krishna.
Jai Sachinandan ki.
Jai.